Can you just turn to the person next to you and say, isn't the Lord good? And can you say yes back? Okay, because he is. He's amazing. Okay, can I have this? Is this ready to go? You know, he's taken us to a place this morning that I was hoping to take you to. Doesn't he do that? When you see what I'm going to speak on this morning, you'll go, wow, maybe God really is talking. Bars. Not quite chains. Bars. Okay? So what a great morning so far. Who shook off the shackles? Oh, yeah. Come on. My name's Tim. Heidi and I, my wife, we have the absolute privilege of leading this church and an amazing team of people who support us with that. And can I just say what a wonderful church family we have? Just look around. Seriously, look around. Okay? We have people from African backgrounds, Asian backgrounds, British backgrounds, Eastern Asian backgrounds. Have I missed anyone? Irish background, Polish backgrounds, okay? American backgrounds, okay? I want to kind of stop going around the globe, but actually you get the picture. We are a church of God. And God's kingdom looks like this. And that's amazing. We're also at different stages of our Christian journey. We've got people amongst us who aren't yet Christians, who are seekers. We've got people amongst us who are new Christians, who may well get baptized next time. I'm not looking at anyone, Stuart. We've got people here who have been Christians a few years. We've been people here who have been Christians for decades. Who's that? Who's been Christians decades? Yeah. Praise God for those faithful people. And you know what, guys? We are all, whether we're 20 years down the line, 2 months down the line, 50 years down the line with God, we're all on the same journey. We're on a journey to be people who are called to love God and love people. People inside the church and people outside the church. And as Vic said last week, we are called to be the hope of the nations. We are the nations. Look around. But we don't do it on our own, do we? Because we are called into a place of intimacy with God. If we did it on our own, we would fail. Jesus had to go to that place of intimacy with the Father. And you know what? Like Vic said, we are called to be laborers, co-laborers with God. The burden, the yoke, is a light one because we're yoked to him. We don't do it on our own. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to talk to you about bars, okay? There are probably three types of bars. The bars that you might go and watch football in. Can I just say, we very nearly had a very dodgy wedding, okay? England could have played Poland, okay? That could have been dodgy, okay? Craig is English. Estera is Polish, okay? It could have been a bit dodgy, okay? Didn't happen. I won't say why. But listen, we are God's people. And I want to start this morning by turning to the book of Judges. So if you have your Bible, could you turn, please, to Judges 6? While you are turning there, I want to give you a very brief summary of the background to this story. So Moses had led the people for 40 years out of slavery, out of oppression, out of Egypt. God had done amazing miracles, split the sea, provided food for them every day. And if you read the Bible, it said not even their shoes wore out on the journey for 40 years. Then God called Moses to the promised land, his promised land, before Moses entered the promised land. And Joshua led the nation. But after Joshua, the Bible says this, after Joshua and the elders died, a new generation emerged who neither knew the Lord or what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and they served the Baals. In his anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to raiders who plundered them. So begins this up and down journey of the Israelites' history. And it's at this point that we come to chapter 6 of the book of Judges. And I want to just read some of this. So, Judges chapter 6. And I want to read from verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. Now, just think about that. A wine press is where you press grapes to make wine. He's threshing his wheat there. Why was he doing it? He was threshing his wheat to keep it from the Midianites. The Midianites had invaded the land and had literally ravaged the land. They were like locusts, the Bible tells us. Every time the crops grew, they came and they took the crops. Every time there were animals, they came and they took the animals. They ravaged the land. And the Israelites lived in caves, in fortified kind of areas. They lived in fear and trembling and hiding. So here's Gideon hiding in this wine press, threshing wheat on his own to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, listen to these words, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Listen to Gideon's response. It makes me smile. "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where is all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did the Lord not bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hands of the Midianites." The angel ignored all that. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not saving you?" "But Lord," here comes the excuse, "but Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my family." So, Gideon, hiding in this area that grapes were normally crushed, probably had a sort of wall around it so he couldn't be seen, out of sight, scared that he would be discovered. Not the warrior that the angel of the Lord saw. He wasn't on a hilltop. hair kind of flowing in the wind, spear in his arm. That wasn't where he was. He was hiding. And listen to his response to the stranger who comes. Just read that for a moment. "But sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about?" He was so wrapped up in his own self-pity that he didn't even hear "mighty warrior." He didn't even hear it. What he heard was that God was with him. Oh yeah, God with us. Where is he then? Where is he, this God? He was so blinded by what was going on in his own life that he didn't even hear what the angel of the Lord had spoken. Do you ever feel like this? If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? Where are all his wonders? He seems to be doing them down the road. Seems to be doing them somewhere else, in someone else, not in me, not here, not now. Something terrible happened to me. Where was God then? Something terrible happened to my friend when they were a child. Where was God then? Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? God promised me this years ago, and I've not seen it happen yet. If the Lord is with us, why hasn't it happened? I prayed, and still that person died. Or that situation hasn't shifted. Why has all this happened to us? Please hear me right. Painful things happen to all of us as we walk through life. Things that can be so painful that we just want to give up at times. And I know that many of you have been and have been in the past and are still going through really, really difficult things where pain is so real and so unbearable at times. We've walked through pain ourselves as a family, watching family members die, waiting for God to heal them, watching family members walk away from Jesus and asking why. The pain of waiting to have children and wondering, will it ever happen? The journey through Heidi's postnatal depression. But you know what? Here's the good news. Some of our greatest victories in God can come out of a place of utter hopelessness. Utter hopelessness. As we choose him, sometimes through gritted teeth, sometimes when we can't feel him or see him, the victory comes as we say yes to him. You know what? God hears and sees the pain, the rejection, the loss, the sadness. Jesus experienced the most unbearable pain that you can imagine. God knows what pain feels like. yet he is a master at bringing victory out of the darkness. Hallelujah. It's what he does. It's what he does. So back to Gideon. Gideon was looking for excuses not to step out of the winepress because he was scared. He was surviving, not thriving. He had accepted that that was his lot in life. He had become used to the bars of the prison. He had believed the reality of the facts before him, what others told him. The Lord has abandoned us. You could just hear the sound through the Israelite nation, echoing around the caves that they were hiding in. The Lord has abandoned us. That's what others had told him. And he'd started to believe it. He had believed the reality of the facts as he saw them. The angel of the Lord says, go, go. And then there's excuses. How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. He believed what man said about him. In the natural, he was right. He was the smallest of the weakest in the natural. And he was believing what people said about him rather than what God said about him. Church, do we need to stop listening to what the world would say to us or in the natural how we feel and start believing what God says about us? You know, Gideon saw the bars. He saw those kind of bars. But I want to tell you some good news. Something changed in Gideon's heart in this story. And I just want to read it to you. There's a point in the story of change. Verse 15, the angel of the Gideon says to the angel of the Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. But the Lord saw him differently. The Lord saw him differently. Mighty man of valor is how the Lord saw him. And you know what? Gideon went from feeling lost and abandoned by God to saying, okay, Lord. And the key turning point comes as you look just turn with me, please. To verse 12. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. The Lord is with you. And later on, when he asks the Lord, how will I do all this? He says, I will do it with you. Go in my name. I will do it with you. So, guys, I think we need to stop doing what he was doing, which we can all do at times. Look at the bars, look at the issues, look at the things that in the natural would stop us. And know that the Lord goes with us into whatever we're walking in. Because this is what the Lord does. He sees different bars. He sees different bars in you. Listen to this. Mighty man of valor. Okay? If you or I had been stood in front of Gideon, they're probably the last words we would have used for him. Chicken. Warrior. Scaredy cat. Okay? He's hiding. He's scared for his life. And the angel of the Lord calls him a mighty man of valor. A warrior. Why? Because God doesn't see us as we see us or as others see us. God sees what he has made. He has made. And you know what? When he made you, he put inside you gold that he knows is in there. So he can say, mighty man of valor, mighty woman of valor. Because he knows it's in there, because he put it in there. He put in you the gold. The gold. He saw in Gideon the gold of leadership that he had put in there. He saw in Gideon the gold of warrior that he had put in there. Gideon goes on to take 300 men against tens of thousands of men in one of the greatest victories in the history of Israel from a wine press where he's hiding like a chicken. Because God sees the gold where we see the bars. You know, God can take the weakest and turn them into mighty men and women of God. Look at Deborah. Look at David. Look at Gideon. God sees the gold. God can take the most broken, most seemingly impossible of situations and change it in an instant. When Gideon went to that place on that day, he wasn't expecting to encounter God. But God was waiting. God knew. God loves impossible odds. It's where we have to trust him the most. I'm going to say that because some of you need to hear it this morning. God loves impossible odds because it's where we have to trust him the most. And what was it for Gideon that led to the change? Well, like I said, the key can be found in verse 18. The Lord answered, I will be with you. You can do it because I'm going to do it with you. Gideon, you're not on your own. When he comes to us, when we know he comes to us, when we know he's there in that situation that we are struggling so much in, that one, when he comes to us in that situation and says, I'm with you, it changes everything. Gideon went from feeling lost, abandoned by God, saying, if God is with us, how can all this happen? To saying, I will with you, Lord. And it changed everything. It changed everything. He went from living behind the bars to allowing God to draw out the bars in him, the gold bars in him. You know, that wasn't the end of the story for Gideon. If only it was that simple. If only Gideon said yes and everything was smooth and he had no doubts and no fears from that moment on. But that's not true. Gideon still had to overcome nagging doubts, real fears, to become the person that God made him. He needed to allow God to remove one set of bars and exchange them for some very different bars. To begin to believe the things God said about him. I just want you to think for a moment about the promises of God. What has God said to you about you? What is the gold that is put in you? Have you discovered it yet? Just like Gideon, scholar has taken a step on in her journey with the Lord today. She is saying, yes, Lord, I want all that you have for me. I want to step into what you've planned for me, what you've purposed for me. She wants her life to count for Jesus and has chosen to step out in obedience today. And here's a question for you. What step of obedience is the Lord asking you to take? It may look very similar or very different to scholar. But I want you to think today, what step of obedience? What are your bars? What are the lies that you're believing? What's the truth that the world has spoken over your life? Might look factual, but what is God saying? I feel that many of us here are going through or have been through things that have put us behind bars. We are free. The door is open. But you know what? We could be locked in fear or depression or disappointment. I felt when I was prepping this, disappointment was a key word for this morning. Disappointment. That God wants to come and break some bars. You know, God wants to exchange those bars for his bars. The gold that is released as we say yes to him, just like Gideon said yes to him. I think others of us are in situations where you just need to know and hear this, that the Lord is going with me in this. That the Lord is with me in it. So this morning, as I prayed, I just felt the Lord say three things just as we come to a close. And I just want to pray. And I really feel that the Holy Spirit has been speaking clearly this morning about breaking chains, about breaking bars, about revealing his gold to us. And I don't want to stop the Holy Spirit from speaking, so I'm going to ask him to speak a little bit more, because he does. And I would like you to open your heart right now to him. So can we just pray? And I want to invite the Holy Spirit in. So let's just pray. And then there's three specific things that I want to invite the Holy Spirit to touch in us this morning. So Holy Spirit, we open our lives, the most painful situations in our lives, the places of hurt and disappointment, the places of fear and pain, We open them to you this morning. Where we have put ourselves in any way behind bars, Lord, those bars of disappointment and fear, of sadness, Lord, would you come, Holy Spirit, would you come now? And would you reveal the truth into the lies that we've been believing? Would you reveal the truth of who you say we are? Would you reveal where you are in the situations that we're walking through? For those of you who are going through really challenging situations with work, health, family, or other areas that just need to hear the sound of, I am with you. Let's just ask the Lord to speak to you now. Lord, would you show me where you are in this situation? Just ask the Lord. Just keep praying. For those of you who feel locked behind bars of disappointment that a situation didn't or hasn't yet turned out the way you thought, where you are believing that this is it now, resolved to living in the wine press rather than battling for the Lord. Would you give him that disappointment? Would you give him that fear? Would you say to him, Lord, I know you can turn this situation around in an instant, and I believe, and I have faith, and I say yes to you, Lord. Despite what it looks like on the surface, and I just felt, lastly, just to pray for those of you who, and hear me right, may have excuses as to why you're not moving on in your walk with the Lord. My clan is the weakest and I am the least. That sound of being the least, being someone who people don't notice, being insignificant. God takes the weak, the insignificant, the least, and he says, mighty man of valor, mighty woman of valor. Let's just ask the Lord to highlight and remove the lie that has almost brought us grinding to a halt in our walk with him. Is there someone you need to forgive? Is there a lie that needs to be uprooted for God's truth to come in? So, Holy Spirit, into all of this we pray that you would come right now as you are. Lord, and you would bring your truth, a truth that sets us free, a truth that doesn't see what we are in the natural, but sees the gold that's in us. Holy Spirit, come. So guys, as you just carry on praying and just being with the Lord, just open yourselves up. Just open yourselves up. Open yourselves up. Jesus. Yes, Lord, your heart is that we are free. That we believe the shackles are off. That we believe the prison door is open. That we believe that you can break the fear, the disappointment, the rejection, the pain. That we would walk into all that you have for us.